Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
In the first service, winning strategy for spiritual warfare. So this is the part two. And hopefully, it will end here. Hopefully. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you guys don't answer me, I'll move it to part three. You have to be. If you are today, no play. I will increase the price of fuel. So I wish we had time. I would have wanted to ask you how you have been managing. No time. But I'll go back to my messages early this year and go and listen to it. That's all. There's nothing to say. All right. So what scripture were we reading this morning? So before we go into Joshua chapter 5, I want to quickly read Proverbs 30 and verse 11. Winning strategy for spiritual warfare part 2. So there's a strategy to warfare. It's, for instance, if you are trading the financial market. Are you with me now? If you are trading the financial market, for those who care or who know, you need to look for you to be profitable in the financial market. Trading financial market is not betting. It's not like Naira bet. All right? It's a risk, but it's not betting. It's an informed, you are making an informed decision. So the first thing you need to look at, you have to look at the trend of the market. What do I mean? What's happening to this market in the last 1 month, in the last 2 weeks? You notice the price of fuel has been going up, which means if the price of fuel is going up, that means you should be buying. You want to buy into that stock, into that share. Dangote Sugar was 3 Naira. It's now 5 Naira. You probably want to buy so that you can also get part of the goodies. You don't sell because the value is going up. It's the same thing spiritual. You have to understand the trend of what you are actually dealing with. All right, and because many people, even though they are sincere Christians, don't understand the strategy to warfare, they suffer unnecessary loss, even though they say, Pastor, we are fasting, we are praying. But they are not, your entry point is you are late. There's a point to enter the market and there's a point to exit the market. So I want to read Proverbs 30:11 because some people are still asking, please, verse 14. Proverbs 30:14. Some people are still asking whether this thing is real. The Bible is there. All you have to do is pick it up and read. Let's look at Proverbs 30:14. It says there is a generation whose teeth are like what? They are like swords. And their jaw teeth as what? To devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. This is a classical scripture for spiritual warfare. So, I just want you to put this down in your note and meditate on it. Say there's a generation. And their goal is to what? He said their teeth. Huh? They are like swords. Every time they open their mouth, swords are coming out like words. If you had a good plan and a good vision, you want to study for masters or you want to do something, when you talk to them, you become discouraged. Have you met such people before? Yes. They are also in church this morning. They went to their church. You know, not here. They went to their church this morning. Because you think they are evil spirits. No, they are men. So there's a generation whose teeth are like swords. They are jaw teeth like knives. Whether it's with a sword, you can, depending on the length of the sword, you can strike from afar. But with a knife, you can strike at close range. So you need to think about this. So the devil also has a strategy when he engages a believer. If the devil wants to destroy you, if the devil really means to destroy you, the first thing he will do is to isolate you. The first thing. He will never tell you don't pray. No, he won't tell you don't go to church. No, he will start telling you that you are Christ. He will start telling you things like you don't need anybody. That you are who you are. You know who you are in Christ. He will be using scriptures. The way he used scriptures to talk to Jesus. You remember? When he was being tested. See, as the scripture has said, he shall give his angels charge over you. Hallelujah. The devil, if he had quoted some ancient occultic text, Jesus would have easily known he was the one. He quoted scripture. Just because you heard the scripture when you are praying doesn't mean it's God. Say, Pastor, I know what God said to me. What did God say? He said, from Proverbs chapter 30, verse 14. You heard the scripture, but you are not the only one. Everybody say, open source book. Everybody, including Satan, reads it. So you must be discerning. The greatest gift you can have now is discernment. Everybody is shouting Jesus, everybody is crying, but who is actually carrying the Spirit of God? We don't know. So if somebody begins to share rice now and carries rice on his head, you will say, he's a good man, he's a Christian. It's like Jesus. Or he wears only one shirt. Say he's very humble. That doesn't mean anything. It may just be your style. Doesn't mean that you may be trying to hide your wealth so that people don't know you are rich. But can Mark Zuckerberg deceive you now and tell you he's broke? And he's wearing black t-shirt. Can if you say, no, I'm really broke, you say, say Mark, be careful. Stop saying this kind of hurtful things. How can you say you are broke? Say, seriously, I need money. Hey, he needs money to buy a satellite. You need money to buy a car. The brokenness level is a different, it's hitting on a different level. So what are we saying this morning? You need to understand Satan's strategy so that you can also plot your own strategy. First strategy from Satan is to isolate you. The second strategy from the pit of hell is self-righteousness. You begin to feel you are better than every other person. Say, that man of God, what's his name again? What's his name? You are just trying to say, who is he? So you say, what's his name? What is he saying? Okay, really, but what is he preaching? What is he preaching? There's nothing now. Nothing. He's just lucky. It's lucky. Self-righteousness. And he does these things in layers. Number three, he will cut off godly instruction from you. The people that can talk to you and correct you, he will take you far away from them. Sometimes, oh, Father, talk to me. God wants to talk to you through your neighbor. It's not everything that has to do with seeing the vision. Please, are you with me this morning? The moment, so for those of you who have Christian friends, the moment anybody amongst you is saying, I don't want to say so, it doesn't feel bad, you are already in a very tight spot. The moment somebody looks at you and says, I don't want to offend her. I know what she's doing is wrong, but I don't want to say anything, so it won't create any problem. And two out of three friends, two agree that they should use wisdom. That they don't want to engage you. That third person that they are trying not to offend is already in a tight spot. It's just that she doesn't know it or he doesn't know it. And the moment you step on a slope, you are going. Let me say, I see some people together. So for those of you who claim that you are besties or BFF or B whatever, you need to call yourself and ask yourself, who are we? Because this is the season where we must bring ourselves to the place of godly accountability and instruction. Not to have feeling of self-righteousness. We are all righteous. Forget that thing. Come on, are you with me now? I say it's important to know Satan's strategy so that you know how to plot your own strategy. I've mentioned three things. What did I say? It will isolate you. Self-righteousness. It will cut you off from godly instruction. Number four. You will develop an unusual ability for disobedience. An unusual ability. Jesus said to his disciples, The one who dips his hand with me. One would think that with Jesus saying that, Judas will go on his knees and say, "Ah, Master, I'm sorry, I collected money." What did the guy do? He ate the food. Nothing will happen. Is it today? Are you the only one that God is using? Just be talking, be using buffets, braggadocious. He just wants to check us. Nothing will happen. Where are you? You are dying. Your time is up. But you rain, Koja. You know, you don't rain pass. See, if anybody put his hand in the air. See the way he's talking. In his mind, that warning, that statement was a warning to him. It was a warning shot. Po! Don't try it. At what point did we get to that phase? Yes, I know I said we are friends. I call you friends. But I didn't say you shouldn't use your head, though. It was Jesus who said you are no more servant. Jesus told all of them to leave their jobs. Did they lack? Come on, did they lack? Whoever has the ability to pay you, you to fear him now. See, your original manager, who is he? He graduated from ABU 94. I finished 95. In fact, my own would have been 94, if not that I had carryover. We now met in Accenture. He's doing like this. Who are you? How is it, this life, man? You be telling your friend, "Ah, this life. You have to work hard, though. So your mates won't be talking to you anyhow." Can you imagine, Kunle? We were in the same hour all. Kunle is telling me that I should keep quiet. Hi. And that thing they said, I will not do it. Let MD call us. Somebody would have thought, you may be right, oh, that your position may be right, oh, but because you correction upwards is rebellion. So you are exposed spiritually and career-wise. Nobody to defend you again. Because that ship will sink with only one person. And those telling you, yes, you are right, yes, they will not move for you. Don't move, you sink alone. They will use your case as a learning curve at the next training seminar. You develop an uncanny ability for disobedience. The man who dips his hand, you would have thought the guy would just check himself. He ate the food. Walked out. So I have comforted myself that there are people that I've been preaching to for all this year that are not listening to me. That Jesus even warned, gave a warning shot. And Judas still did what he was going to do. So in the market, we say the market will do what it wants to do. So don't, if you want to be profitable in the financial market, you don't go ahead of the market. Let the market do what it wants to do. Then you react to it. You'll be fine. But if you do what you want to do, the market will do what it wants to do. And then you'll be in loss. Okay. If you don't understand, it's okay. How many points now? An uncanny ability for disobedience. All of a sudden, you begin to scrutinize people. Everything is dovetailing from the first point. To just say, "What are you talking about?" I say, Benga. I know him now. But when they see you, they'll call you pastor. You are getting there. It's not the name that is the problem. It's the spirit that is working that gives me concern. What's the first point? The second? Self-righteousness. Number three? I didn't get that. Number four. What did I say at these 4 points? Number Number five. If you are a newborn Christian today, you will understand this message. Because we are at war. I try to stay away from spiritual. I want to be saying things that people like. But God is still bringing me back here. We are at war. I'm telling you. In the realm of spirit now. All the music ministers, everybody, they are carrying guns. So even your worship, your God come, I'm a music minister. You better wake up. We are at war. So your songs now must be warfare. The kind of song that you will sing that will make God destroy all the enemies before you get to the battleground. That's the kind of song we need. Because some people are not aware. You want to be a civilian. Meanwhile, God says now, what we need are what? Soldiers. Number five. When your case becomes very critical, the enemy will put out the fire on your candlestick. When you get to this point, your fire is going out. And even the heavens will now become concerned. Jesus was speaking to one of the churches in the book of Revelation. He said, if you do not repent, I will remove your candlestick from his place. Jesus said so. For Jesus to say that means he has given you time upon time upon time. Say, stop fornicating. You know, stop fornicating. It's okay. Remove the candlestick. The moment that light goes out in the spirit, it's a free zone for Satan. Free zone. Prayer, you can't pray again. You think the ability to pray one hour twice is coming from your ability. There is a fire that is burning the realm of the spirit that gives you the desire and appetite for spiritual things. Who wants to pray? Do you want to pray? How many days did you pray because you felt like it? Didn't you drag yourself? You drag yourself from the room, went to the parlor. Please, am I talking to somebody? Then you start. Then by default, you picked up your phone. Am I describing something now? You just say, okay, you are praying now. You are praying now. You struggle for 30 minutes, then you manage to pray without distraction for another 30. Someone say, I love prayer. It's a level. We are still trying to get to your own level. Once your fire before God, your candlestick is put out by God Himself. Huh? There's no Christianity there again. You become a critic. Become a critic. So it's for like that I'm leading praise worship there. Say, well, I know when that church was still a church. You've not heard those things before. They've said it to my fathers. In the days when they've said it to my fathers, Pastor Adeboye. Where are you people? Have you not heard such things before? The person talking has not started any church. Or he has not started a business. Don't get to the point where God even now convinces himself that it's time to put off your candle. It's a very dangerous place because there's no vacuum in the spirit. Once you get there, they replace you. This is Satan's strategy. But Satan, that's the final point for Satan. But Satan will not, he will start with on a very casual ground with you. And you will think that everything is fine. Where he's going is to get you to the point where even God himself will say, I reject you. Come on, say, God forbid. David sinned against God. And in one of the Psalms, he began to pray, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Because he knew the Holy Spirit was already out. So the question was not about, for Saul, he wanted to save his face as a king. Samuel, don't go. If you go now, people will know that you are angry. Please stay with me. Let me offer the sacrifice. We'll settle. Just stay with me. But for David, it was about his relationship with God, not the kingdom. That's why David is a better man. God, if you don't use me again, people say I'm not a pastor. When guy is not anointed, you are still not learning anything. Yes, sir. You are still not learning. You think it's about how people perceive you. There are churches in India that sit over 21,000, 40,000 in villages. They are not on social media. So who told you Facebook is the definer of who is making impact? I think Orina Bonki that came to, I don't know, one of these evangelists, they came for a crusade somewhere in India. And all the pastors had to lead their church members by foot because they didn't have any vehicle. And some the smaller pastors were, you know, your church members, you are going as a group. 2,000, 4,000, some 21,000, 40,000. It's inevitable we know who is making impact. So slow down. Don't let people push you and give you ordination that is not your own. They start calling you apostle. When did God call you? You think because you work a miracle, you are an apostle? Or because you give a prophecy, it means you're a prophet. You are not a prophet until you engage spiritual warfare at that level in your office. If you still stand, you are one. When you say you are something, no problem, we have heard. Give yourself the title. But you have signed up for warfare at that level. So if you don't have angels that work with you in your office, so what are you going to do? Why not humble yourself and let God elevate you in due season? One of my fathers, he removed he's a brother for so many years in Makurdi, in Benue State. He's a brother. And he's enjoying his life and touching the world. You must refuse to be deceived. Don't get to the point where you become self-deceived. So that's the second part of this message. Third part. Are you blessed this morning? In Joshua chapter 5, verse 1 to 3, quickly. Joshua chapter 5, from verse 1 to 3. Let's read it very quickly. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them. And I've spoken about this already in the first service. Verse 2. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, now make thee sharp knives. This was a clear instruction. This juncture we have gotten to, you need to be armed. You want to save your family? Make sharp knives. Or we are going to fight. You must now learn how to fight. He said, I have taken away the energy from them. I've made them weak. But there are two conditions you must meet for the battle to be delivered to you. And he said the first thing is, make sharp knives. I don't know, maybe we should read Hebrews before we come back here. Hebrews 4, that we considered in the first service. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The word of God has the capacity to touch areas of your soul and your spirit where mortal instruments cannot get to. That means a word of God can be released into your spirit and it will have impact on your soul. It can make you joyful. It can bring you out of depression. The scriptures in the book of Proverbs, a wounded spirit who can bear. The word of God can be released and you'll be healed of spiritual infirmity. A lot of people prophesy out of hurt. They don't know. They prophesy out of hurt. If you tell them you want to get married to somebody that is tall, but because somebody tall broke their heart, they'll start seeing vision for you that there's no way there. Because that guy's name was Mark, but your own person is Marcus. Cannot be from God. It's good to always discern. I know I said to you, one of the greatest abilities God can give to you now is discernment. To see people and know who they are without talking to them. Because trust is thrown to the wind now. God's word has the ability to touch three levels. Can touch your spirit. So if the symptom or if the root of the symptom that you are exhibiting is in the spirit, the reason why you cannot pray is because you have been afflicted in your spirit. The word of God will not just make you pray. It will first go and remove what has caused that thing. But there's one other area which directly ties to the testimony of our sister. It says, piercing even to the asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrows. That's the body. The word of God can have effect on your bodies. Health. It can repair broken tissues. So, the issue here is when God said to Joshua, make for yourself sharp knives, God was saying, look, as a doctor, when you get into the OR, the operating room, there is a way you must hold your scissors and your blade. Because one mistake, 1 inch away, you can kill that person. So the issue of knives is emphasizing skill. The ability to use God's word in a particular way and produce certain results. Make for yourself knives. And the word there is knives. Plural. The kind of scripture you will need to address this particular problem A may be different from what is required for problem B. So when I'm faced with a problem, the first thing I need to do is to go before God. First of all, not with any solution in mind. I want to find out how we should go about the matter. Because sometimes you may be overwhelmed and you may not even know where to start. So the first place to start is to go before the Lord until he gives you direction on how to pray or which scripture to use. And how he does that is as you begin to pray in the spirit. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the scripture says that no one knows the heart of God except the spirit of God that is in him. So the spirit of God will begin to search the heart of God and bring out resource materials. And then because in John, Jesus taught us, our Lord Jesus said, the Holy Spirit shall remind you of things I have spoken to you. So the Holy Spirit will begin to bring those thoughts into your mind. It may begin to bring scriptures. It may begin to bring certain thought patterns. And they will all be aligning. By the time you come out of that prayer, you have a fairly good sense of how to now begin to pray. A lot of people armed with Bible verses, armed with fasting and prayer, and yet they suffer unnecessary defeat. And they now become confused. Pastor, but I prayed. Pastor, but I fasted. No, we are talking about skill. This is a bacterial infection. You need antibiotic. You are using chloroquine, Coartem. You may experience some relief, but you are not going to be fully well. Because you have not even diagnosed the problem. And I spoke to this in the first service. You need to understand what exactly you are dealing with to become very effective in dispensing justice. That's why the scripture teaches us from our Lord. He said that we must watch and pray. Before you begin to pray, you have to watch. Study what you are dealing with. So your prayer time does not start when you begin to balisa katodia. No, it starts first of all when you are sitting quietly. It's part of the prayer. You can take 30 minutes under the influence of the Holy Spirit and you are just meditating. You are looking at this matter. Where did we go wrong? What do we need to do? You are assessing the problem. You are looking at the patterns. Because even the scripture says to us that precept must be upon precept and line must be upon line. Which means God is a God of patterns. And Satan also follows patterns. Many times you will not hear the voice of God saying this is what I'm doing. But you will see patterns. With that pattern you can begin to say, It's like we're about to break into a new season. We're about to break into a new day. You can see the signs in the atmosphere that your family is coming into a new season, or you are about to come into a new season. So you now need to learn how to steward that which is about to come. Make for yourself sharp knives. The emphasis there is the word of God. The word of God is likened to a blade. But these are revelations on different levels. Because some, you will need to use them to reach out and hit the enemy. Some require close combat. Many skillful warriors didn't die because of face-to-face combat. They died from close combat. You must be skillful in both. Say, make for yourself sharp knives. The scripture says to us in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, it said, not only can the word of God touch your spirit and your soul, it can touch your bodies, and it's also a discerner of thoughts and intentions of the heart. When people come to you and talk to you, if you are a man that is filled with the word of God, the spirit of God will move into action. There's a software. There's a product that the word of God produces. It's not just when you think. People are talking to you and your spirit is beginning to discern what they are really saying. It's a discerner of what? Of thoughts. When you are praying and certain thoughts are coming to you, the Spirit of God will be giving you things that that's God. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. When you receive other thoughts, the Holy Spirit will say, this is your mind. Give it time, it will dissipate. And that's how you will know. One of the ways you will know when you are not hearing God is that give it time, it will dissipate. But God's word doesn't return void. Come on, are you here now? As a younger boy, I was writing an exam. I wasn't very familiar with the game of basketball, but they were asking us a question about basketball. Now, the question was, I think it was a GSS 3 exam. The question was, what do you call a goal scored in a basketball game? It's a goal now. Right? Abby? What's it called? It's basket. But I my mind was saying that because they already said basket in the question, the answer cannot be basket again. And the Lord Kelly told me, pick basket. I said, no, it's a goal. So I lost the answer. As I was coming out, that's what I heard people discussing. The man, I didn't pass anchor, I just stood beside them. The man, now basket now. You know, Sabigi, you know, they play, but I just walked away. Because out of 50 questions, I failed, but only God knows how many others I failed. Let me just be going. Come and be going. The Holy Spirit is a discerner of thoughts. You see, because there's a whole lot that happens in your mind. The Holy Spirit can help you process the prevailing thoughts and tell you what your spiritual state is. The moment your battery is going down, you will see the kind of immoral thoughts that will be coming. You will find more pleasure watching sci-fi movies than listening to a message. Because for you, I'm listening to a man. But for God, I'm transferring instruction. The moment your perspective begins to become carnal, the Spirit of God can witness to you that, see what happened yesterday, see what happened, you are getting cold. It's a discerner. It will process your thought and tell you the one that is your own and tell you the one that is from Satan and the one that belongs to him. So the word of God is powerful. I don't know why any normal Christian will not meditate on the word of God. Because the word of God provides an environment for your soul where spiritual cultivation can happen. He said you can pray up a storm, but if you are not given to meditating upon the word of God, your land is barren. Your land is barren. Very few things will grow there. And there's nothing like I've read that scripture before. There's nothing like that. Read it again. Why you need to read it again? Because the day you read it, it didn't disappear from the Bible. It's still there. So go back and read it again. So I memorized the whole chapter. Read it again. Come on, are you here? That scripture, go back to Joshua chapter 5. Let's consider the second option here. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, and it's amazing that this conversation started with the Lord. Listen to me. You are not mandated to hear God only when you are praying. While you are at the office, God can be speaking to you. One of the things hearing God and being close to God will deliver you from is the approval of men. It's what? The approval of men. It's not like you are looking for friends or you need people to like you. You are secure in who you are in Christ. Because the only thing we do is we'll gossip. Because by the time we sit down, talk about what did you eat? This one. Down. When we finish, you start saying, hey, have you heard from Ifoma? Ah! You didn't know she traveled. That's where the gossip will start from. To start innocently. Then you enter full-scale occultism. Full-scale. You won't know. It's just like we are just gisting. Give me that scripture. Make these sharp knives and what? Circumcise. Come and say again. Oh, hallelujah. The children of Israel the second time. And I began to explain to us. There are points you get to in your journey with God. God will say, before you proceed, circumcise. In verse 1, the scripture clearly told us, the Lord had taken away the spirit from their enemies. That means they didn't have any energy to proceed with the battle. They were already weak on the inside. Yet God said, if you go like this, you will fail. Pastor, understand, it's my industry. We know everything that goes on here. Hey, slow down. Slow down. I hear you, but slow down. They took not the land by their might. And they possessed the land not by their power. Be careful. If it looks cheap, be careful. If it looks cheap, be careful. There's a card that they will play. They will shift the goalpost. In between, you'll be shocked. The scripture says, circumcise them again. And when you read the old chapter, one of the things you find is that the generation that left Egypt was a different generation from the one Joshua had to pastor. So, these ones, they were born on the road. There was no time to circumcise them. And God said, you have had previous victories, but now this is going to be a major issue for you. So, we need to what? Circumcise. Now, if you read this entire chapter, you will find that by the time Joshua had obeyed the Lord, they all had to camp for a while so that they could get healed. That is your waiting time. Huh? And I encourage you, learn how to pray for 1 week. And the only prayer is, Lord, purify me. Purify my intentions. Purify my motives. Purify my desires. Those are areas to pray about too. Purify my drive. For adventure, the things I'm thirsty for are not things you are interested in. Purify my drive, purify my intention, purify my pursuit, purify my emotions. You know, you are going to touch every area of your life. If you find that you are no more loving your wife, Lord, purify my desire for my wife. Or and vice versa too. Because some people, no matter how much they love God, the moment they want something, even the Holy Spirit can't stop them. I want to buy a Jeep now. Even if a mic comes down, they will not listen. Because they are already dreaming about that Jeep. Nobody can say, thus hear the Lord. Hey. God talks to everybody. Once their mind is set on it, Oton, finish. So you must pray that God should purify your drive. If this thing will not serve your purpose, let me not go there. If this thing will bring me pain, it was PhD some people went to do and they found a second wife. I'm still safe anyway. So. Are you with me now? Please, are you here? So you will not really know what is what until you pray, then God will be working at the background, helping you. You will now notice every step you took in that direction was failing. It's God. Because if God tells you don't go, you will not hear. So God will go and scatter it. Say, Father, scatter every intention, every purpose, every desire in me that is not from you. These are strategies to winning in spiritual warfare. He says, circumcise them again. This generation don't know God. They go to church, they go for concert. Because it seems that now, if you want to do a program and have everywhere filled up, you should organize a singing program. People don't gather around the word of God again because it's boring. People will sleep at home, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., come to church, still sleep 3 hours inside the service. And they are comfortable, no conscience, their conscience is intact. And it's Satan, no, telling them to sleep. Because if they hear that word, they'll be saved. I don't know why you are laughing. Are you sleeping? Say, circumcise them again. There must be a reverence for the Lord that can't let you doze. It's a holy fear. Because you know he's talking. He's talking. He's speaking into your spirit. If you are tired, you get up and start praying in tongues. You need to be ruthless to silence Satan. You cross your feet, you cross your say, I know why I'm in Christ. You don't know anything. You have been defeated. From the way you start saying, I know why I'm in Christ, even Satan is laughing. Say, I'm going to give me tea first, my drink. This one is finished. You know who you are? If you know who you are, you will do the works of Christ. Circumcise them again. And there's a beautiful scripture on circumcision. Philippians 3. 3:3. Philippians 3:3. Is this a kind of message you should hear on Sunday? Yes, sir. People don't like it. Does it matter? For we are the circumcision. Praise God. Yes. Now, this is the New Testament equivalent of what I'm sharing with you.
Yes.
He said, we, the body of Christ, Busayo, Vaughn, Tobe, Yele, you know, we are the circumcision. What do the circumcision do? They worship God. Where? Where? In the spirit. They have a strong connection to their call, the spirit, and they rejoice in Christ. Every time they hear the word of God, there is a shout on their inside because they are in the worship mode perpetually. We are the circumcision. Our foreskins have been cut. We have been marked. We have been marked. We have been marked. Even if you go to the house of Satan, the mark of Christ is evident on your head. They say you don't belong here. You are not part of us. You are not part of us. They look at the mark on your head. We have been marked. We have been marked. Say, we are the circumcision. The moment you came, he said, you can't come before I enter my house. Mark. Mark. My wife and I were at, where's that club again? Ikoyi Club. Recently. We couldn't go in. Because we are not marked. So I decided that it's time to 2.1 million, 2 million. Go and register. We had to wait for the person who invited us. And even when we got in, they still said we should wait at the reception. Then the person paid for us to be able to enter. Paid. You will not be poor. The price for not being a member that somebody has to pay for. You can't even pay for yourself. They won't take money from you. They don't know you. Who are you? You're an outsider. You are a goat. These ones are sheep. Somebody must hold your hand. We went with our children. The person had to, in fact, I was a bit concerned for the person. Then I realized that it was the one who said, come. Yeah. No, it's not a matter of thinking. He has the capacity. Yeah. The one who says, come. Come into my temple. He has the capacity. Say, come. I stand at the door and knock. Come. If any man says, come. So I will come in and I'll sup with him. The one who says, come, has capacity. Yeah. We got and we say, oh, if you want, we do a lot of tennis here, and you know, we're even having a competition. If you like to join us, it's an annual thing, and you know, there's a lot of exposure you get here. Blah blah. You know, I say I'm interested. In fact, I used to play tennis. I said we are coming. He said, no, it's just about 2 million. Then it's an annual fee. It was just like that. But you see, somebody had to take away the restrictions. The lady at the reception was not holding a gun, but there was a barrier there that will not open for me because they don't know me. So I told her, I said, next time I come, it will know me. Amen. Just 2 million. Say just. You say that's the way to break barriers. Just add just to it. That's the way to break mental barriers. Just put just ordinary, just one of those things. The moment you look at the thing, you become terrified. Just put just, it will break it. Just like David looked at Goliath and said, "Who is this? Who is this Philistine? This dog, this dog." The moment David labeled him, that was it. The battle was over. Before they fought, it was over. Don't go to people and say, "I have a big problem." Big. I don't know what I've been sad for 3 days. Big. Big. And the thing keeps going. Big. Big. Sir. I've been trying to reach you for 7 days. Big. Follow David's strategy. Who is this dog? This feeling is uncircumcised. David called him uncircumcised, which means there are benefits to circumcision. Circumcision is the mark of covenant. And Paul taught us. He said, we are the circumcision. We have been marked. Come on, say, I've been marked. So please make no mistake about it. The enemy knows who you are. Angels know who you are. Everybody knows your position. They know who you are. You cannot be in denial of who God has made you. Don't let Facebook take away your identity. Don't let the Me Too generation take away who you are in Christ. You have been marked. In the spirit realm, you are not like this. You are marked. Marked by blood. That covenant is the reason why you can say father and he will say my child. You think prayers just get answered for rolling on the floor? So the next time Satan convinces you not to pray, tell him I'm marked. I can't avoid it. I can't avoid prayer. We worship. Give me that scripture. Give me that scripture. We are the circumcision that worship God. The capacity for worship is given to those who are marked. They have been touched in their most innermost being. They have been touched in places where only God has access to. They have been touched. Therefore, they have received the ability to worship. Worship is in levels. Haven't you been in meetings and people were worshiping God and you observe somebody else was worshiping differently, but it was the same music? And you're like, Sao Sanobua. Shame will not allow you go to the person and say, sir, I want this thing you have. It's marked. Circumcisions, he said, circumcise them again. Because sometimes certain things can threaten to invalidate your previous position. Certain things can happen to you, and it looks as if your previous position wants to be invalidated. And God says, the moment that thought enters your mind, come aside. 7 days. Come and stay with me. Let me mark you again in my presence. You stay with him. There's no rush. There's no prayer point. Just stay with him. And be worshiping him. Stay with him. Don't no agenda. Because sometimes we come with our agenda and they are so strong that even God cannot intervene. Just come. Sit down. Worship. It's 7 days. There's no way. We're no rush. 7 days. No prayer point. When it is time to pray, you will know. Maybe by the third day. You will know. Sit down, listen to messages. Sit down, feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. Feed your spirit. You have not heard a message. Listen to it 200 times. Let the spirit of the word enter into you. Say we are the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. Look at the final part. He said, we are Yakulaba. He said, we rejoice in Christ and we have no confidence. We have no confidence in the flesh. That's why God caught it. We have no confidence. We have no confidence in our salaries. We have no confidence in the doctor's report. We have no confidence in what Satan is saying. We have no confidence in our own ability. Master's degree, PhD, doctorate, esoteric doctorate, whatever kind of doctorate. Say, we have no confidence. Paul said, if there was anything I ever fought, I count them as dung for the excellency of Christ. I have no confidence. God will do it. It's not because of who I am. It's because of who he is. Is it good to study? Yes. Is it good to be trained? Yes. But Paul said, we have no confidence in the flesh. If there is anything that is in your hand or in your pocket that you are banking on, I say, in case God disappoints, I will use this one. Paul said, we have no confidence. And it is a journey you must travel and get there. Where you look at your life and you say, there's nothing else. If God cannot do it, that's it. Say, we have no confidence. Come on, say, that's true worship. Come on, say, that's true worship. When you get to that point, even when it's a place of complete surrender. Complete. If you pray, you already know that there is no prayer in this state of heart that cannot be answered. And if for any reason you are not getting your answer, God knows about it. So there's no unanswered prayer with you. Both the ones that are answered and the ones that are not answered, they have been answered. Because even the answer you did not get is an answer. But the state of the heart must be marked. It must be marked. Brought down completely in humility before God. And Satan will try to convince you to get up and do something, to be wise. If you get up from your knees, you are finished. Satan's strategy is to make you be wise. Say, be wise as a serpent. Be wise. The moment that wisdom includes taking you away from your knees, the game is over. Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 30, he said, for the evil one cometh, and he found nothing. What did Satan was looking for? Anointing? No, he was looking for anything that was not aligned. You can be anointed and not aligned. You can be an anointed fornicator. What did you think Satan was looking for? He said he came. I thought the temptation he had at the beginning of his ministry was the only time Satan showed up. He said he came. And he was given permission by heaven to search the heart of Jesus. And he found nothing. So what if he had found something? What if, have you ever thought about it? That the conversations, the real conversations are hidden ones. There are not anything people see or say on social media. Satan was given permission to come and search his heart. And they got the result. He found nothing. Say, we tested title value, tested MPV, what's that malaria thing? MP something. Tested the full blood count, deep blood culture. They found nothing. Say, full blood work. Found nothing. May that be our testimony. Quickly, my time is up. What are some of the things to consider here? Number one, when the Lord instructs us along certain lines, it is because those instructions are critical to the success of our pursuit. Anytime God is talking along a direction, you may not realize it yet, but those instructions are critical for the next phase. So don't discount them. If you find yourself in the midst of plenty and God is saying, my son, begin to fast, don't see God as a killjoy. Because the moment you see that pandemonium and the egusi soup and everything, your brain shuts down. So now God is saying fast. Say, God is a wicked person. Every time, meanwhile, he's not telling Brother Marcus. It's only you he's telling. But Brother Marcus is a carnal. So you say, maybe it's better I should be carnal because every time, fast. God, do you want me to win the whole world for Christ? I'm just in my corner. Every time, as you are fast this week, as you say, you hear what pastor said, tomorrow fast. He say, am I the only person that came to church? Which one is fast? Is that the only thing you have? He say, fast. He say, yes, that's the only thing. Keep fast. Anytime the Lord speaks to you along certain lines, it is because those instructions are critical to the success of your pursuit. Number two, many times we begin to obey the Lord, but we fail to continue because we are not seeing any clear direction in what we are doing. This happens to a lot of us. The Lord tells you to do certain things. You start. After a time, like, so what am I doing? Because God is silent. Satan is like, you are the only one who knows that you are doing something. And you are like, what is this? Then over time, time happens. You realize that it's been 3 months that you obeyed the last instruction. Tell your neighbor, go back. Are you remembering some things the Lord told you before? So go back. Including myself, I'm going back. Number three. If you think deeply, you might actually begin to see the reasons why the Lord is calling you to consecration. The two conditions the Lord gave them there was a call to spiritual warfare by preparation by the word and to holiness. Everything you look at in Christianity, the foundation is on the word of God and holiness. Foundation of God's word and holiness is very critical to spiritual warfare. Don't lust after a woman and say it's only in your mind. Hello? Church is quiet. I say don't lust after a woman and say it's just your mind. You didn't do it. Be ruthless with yourself. Will it be easy? No. Do you have to do it? Yes. If you think deeply, you might actually begin to realize the reasons why the Lord is calling you to the consecration he has appointed for you. There are people that are, and I'm not just talking about consecrations that are clearly spelled out in the scripture. There are some of you, the Lord will tell you, don't turn on your TV for the first 4 hours of the day. Especially if you are a remote worker. The Lord may tell you anything from 9 p.m. No more chatting. Casual chatting. No. For now, stop. Then he will tell you that 9 p.m., meet me in your prayer room, which is your bedroom. Meet me in your prayer room for the next 1.5 hours. And when you come, you worship for 30 minutes, meditate for 30 minutes on the word of God, and pray in tongues for 30 minutes. That's the instruction. Don't be righteous, over righteous. Follow the instruction. Over time, you will now begin to see, whoa, God will allow certain things happen. You will now see why. What number now? Satan will never fear you as long as you violate your own consecration. What did I say? Satan will never fear you as long as you violate your own consecration. The one that you know that between you and God, this is how you should be living your life. And in that situation, your victories will be limited. You will fight some battles, you will win, you will lose some others. So be careful. Number five. Everything about spiritual warfare is about following God's instruction. Everything about spiritual warfare is obeying God's instruction. For the next 3 days, meet me at night, 9 to 12, 9 p.m. to 12 p.m., praying in the spirit for 3 hours. QED. He didn't say come and sing. Don't try to kill time by singing. Don't be smart. So I saw something online, smart money. I'm still trying to understand what it is. I think it's a business model or something. Okay, forex business model. Okay, so it's our area. Don't be smart, too. My daughter, you are weak. You love God, but you are weak. To gather strength, meet me for the next 3 months, 2 hours, 9 to 11 p.m. Turn off your data. Don't look at your wristwatch. Just set your alarm for 2 hours. It will go off. You know that you have hit your target. Who told you God is not about target? We talk about target as if it's only a worldly thing. Jesus came for the whole world to be saved. Is that not a target? Has he met it? He has not. So, question now you have to ask yourself is whether you are in any way contributing to Jesus not meeting his target. If you don't win souls, you don't disciple, you don't do anything that advances the work of God. So what are you saying? But you want to be attending online prayer meeting and be praying and shouting and crying and be typing amen. If you like, here. If you do it to a point, you will see that God is not answering again. Because God wants you to grow up. Some meetings are meant for spiritual babies. If I say, let's meet this evening by 6 p.m., let's pray and ask God for a spirit of holiness, you will see how everywhere will be cold. When I went to Akungba, I gave a prayer point. Those people, they pray. I was moved. You will say in Jesus' name 7 times before they stop praying. I'm telling you. I say, wow, where is this fire? Paying of school fees has affected all of us. When you want to pray, your landlord will send you text message. Your rent is now 2.5. So the only way you pray now is to be singing. Nearer my God to thee. Nearer to thee. Lord, you know I'm weak, but you are strong. Those prayers are good, but don't lose your fire. What number? Spiritual warfare isn't just about the battle, it's about territory. Spiritual warfare isn't about just the battle. There's a territory in contention. There's something about you, your life, that God or Satan wants to claim. That's why you're having that problem. If you are meant to bear a godly seed that will rule the earth with the rod of God, Satan will not want you to get married. You have to be spiritual and see this thing. It's not because you are not fine. Worse people are married. If Satan knows that money in your hands will advance the kingdom of God, he will fight you in that area. Holiness, you'll be holy. Your holiness will be like fire. You'll be praying 7 hours, but you'll be poor. People will tell you, come tomorrow, we'll give you the contract. They'll say, oh, God, say we should hold on. Final minute. Satan will fight you till you become angry at God. And the moment you become angry at God, you are disqualified. Be careful. Open your eyes. It's not always about the battle, it's about territories. Discernment is key in spiritual warfare. Discernment is key in spiritual warfare. You know, there are people who try to fight for their freedom, but because they were not discerning enough, Satan made them become very bitter. They became very bitter people. They fought everybody around them out of anger. But it's because your eyes were not open. You didn't see what was actually going on around you. So discernment is key. Be observant. Watch and pray. Don't just pray. Watch and pray. It is what you see in your watching that helps you pray. There are a few other scriptures, but my time is up. Let me just shut this down. Please just write this down very quickly. Rules for engaging in spiritual warfare. Number one, never engage in your self-righteousness. Never. Don't go in with that entitled spirit. I know who I am in Christ. I pray 7 hours every day, self-righteousness. You approach spiritual warfare in submission to God and in humility. Yes, you are praying several hours. It will count for you. But you approach. Even Jesus, when he was to be hung on the... He went like a sheep led to the slaughter. He didn't go as the Son of God. Those are models for us. Number two. You must deal with any loose end before you engage in spiritual warfare. For instance, unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Sin that you've committed and you did not deal with it. You say because it's last month. It has gone. It didn't go. It's there. Unconfessed sin or weight. Things that weight are things that we do. They are not necessarily sin, but they are weighing us down spiritually. Like overindulging in movies. You can overdo it. Some of us, we overwork. Hey! We overwork. When we are doing something, we can get lost in it. We'll just be doing it hours. Huh? No power to pray. You will just be walking. It's like that. Once you are walking, you are high. You are excited. It's good to walk, but you walk while it is day. There's a time for work. There's a time to rest. Deal with any unresolved issue, unconfessed sin, weight, whatever you know can affect you when you engage the Lord in the place of prayer. Deal with it first. Those are rules for engaging spiritual warfare. This is a message on its own, anyway. So I'm trying to avoid going into part three. That's why I'm just doing this. Number three, you must understand the nature of what you are dealing with before you engage. This altar you want to uproot. What was used in building that altar? Was it the blood of men? Was it the blood of virgins? Meanwhile, you are a free ranger. You range as you are led by the Spirit. It is those who know their God that shall be strong. Don't deceive yourself. If the Shango worshiper in your office is stronger than you in his belief, he will overpower you. When we say have a prayer life, it's for your own good. God, your prayer is not helping God. It's helping you. Learn what it means to stand for 2 hours on your feet and you are praying. Liba sotaya roshapa. Learn it. It won't be easy. Your leg, you will use pastor after that prayer, but learn it. Understand the nature of what you are dealing with. If this may not apply to all of you, but if you are ministering to those who are from the marine spirit, there was somebody that came here recently with that kind of a problem. And he was delivered on the spot. A brother, not even a sister. Let me spare you the story. There are testimonies you can't ask people to come and share here because of the way it somehow. Understand. You cannot deal with a mermaid spirit, a water spirit, if you are given to women. If you are given to women, they will come after you. They are difficult. There was a lady while I was ministering last week Sunday. The power of God picked her from inside the congregation and she started manifesting. Full demon possession. 6 people could not hold her down. The lady just like Busayo. Her eyes were closed, but she seemed to know where. And she was hitting them and blowing them. I just moved for her. Don't move. Don't dirty my clothes. Still they travel. She was extremely strong. And every time I came close to her, the moment I put my hand on her head, you will see the anger. You will see the anger. She will lash out. All the ladies moved back. They left only the brothers to be holding her. I just left her, went back to the pulpit. She was here. I went back. I understand that one of the most powerful strategies in spiritual warfare is rest. So I entered into rest. You are small. I am big. I just stayed there for like 5 minutes. The moment I came down, I said, leave her. When they left her, I just stretched my hands to her. And that was it. No prayer. But I had to go back. This one that wants to fight taekwondo. Since taekwondo is not my area, I need to go back. And I just reminded myself that he had given me power over snakes and scorpions. And the moment I saw it, I came back. And then I placed my hand over her head and she could not resist me. Now, somebody's on campus went to sleep with that one. Because she looks innocent on the outside. You don't know that demons need human vessels to manifest. You didn't sleep with her, you slept with a demon. Think if somebody is possessed to show on the face, oh my, you are mistaken. You are mistaken. If you think that, you are mistaken. So understand the nature of what you're about to go into. Because when you understand, it will not tell you the kind of concentration you need to maintain to deal with that thing. It may not be something you do often, but you now have to incorporate it for the sake of this battle. Early in the morning, CCM, big bowl of ewedu and begiri with amala. And in the afternoon, around 10, you have jollof rice that you order. Now there's a big problem. But your stomach is also big. You are full. Understand the nature of what you are dealing with. There is also a fasting that I call the fasting of the lips. A fasting of what? Where you will not talk. You are going to stay away from talking to people. All right, leave that one. They will talk. They want to talk. You just say it is well. You won't talk. 7 days. You will, even your phone, Google Map, or what your Google software will be telling that your talking time this week is very low. It's called a fast. I'm telling you people, this is how I teach you. I'm telling you how to conserve the power in you. Enter it, 3 days, fast from your lips. You'll be eating, be doing, but talk less. Number four, you must have a witness in your heart to proceed before you engage. Don't just engage because people are saying, Pastor, do something. No, no, no. Have a witness in your heart that you can now engage, which was what I did with that woman, that lady. Some have lost dearly because they didn't seek the Lord on specific matters before engaging. They have lost. They lost personal things, items to them. They lost personal items. Because they didn't get approval to engage. The Holy Spirit is there for a reason. It's not, the Holy Spirit is not just there to make you speak in tongues. It can direct you. I have about 2 more points, but let's leave it there. So, are you blessed? Please go and get this message. We'll probably try to cut it into bits and put it on YouTube so that everybody can. But I've put my heart into this message because a lot of us are losing territories. We are losing ground. We are losing our family. We are losing our business. We are losing vital relationships. We are losing so many things. And we still don't have a faintest idea why these things are happening. It's like a free fall. You are just falling. It teaches my hands to war. You must be spiritually skilled. Not just with a sword, but with knives. Can perform an open heart surgery spiritually because your hands have now been trained. You can touch something without touching any other thing. Ask the Lord for help this morning. Go ahead. Ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for help.